back to the first episode of Conversations with Carlisle. I'm your host, Bryson Hill, of course, alongside Coach Carlisle. How are you doing?
Good morning, good people. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm all right. I'm doing fine on this Wednesday morning. With that being said, though, bit of an interesting start for you guys, starting now 0-2. Of course, you guys have the tough ranked game against Fishers and that incredible program over there. How kind of were you approaching that week with all their star players? Of course, we look at all of the transfer. You know, they got Kai McCrew to transfer over there. He's an incredible player. Cooper Zachary, he's a great three-point shooter. How did you kind of approach that week? Obviously, you guys did lose, but not by a lot or anything like that. So what were your biggest takeaways from that game?
I mean, approaching it, it's just the next game. It was our first game of the year. Naturally, we know they've had a lot of success, especially in the last few years, rivaling us, you know, over the past five. It's probably between us, Fishers, and Carmel that had the most success since I've been here at Ben Davis. So it's their turn. They had a good game plan. I thought we made some mistakes. I thought we played hard. Defensively, we got some stuff to clean up, but I think that by the end of the year, mid-season, you'll see a different Ben Davis basketball club.
Awesome. And let's go to your next game then after that. Zionsville on Saturday. You guys lost that 53-48, but if I'm not mistaken, after one, you guys were down 20-8. So you were able to climb back there and make the score respectable and almost fight for the win there. You end up losing by two possessions. What do you think was the biggest turning point in that game after the first quarter?
Well, I'll speak to the first quarter. One of the big things, especially a tenet of our program, is that when you turn on the film, it doesn't matter the opponent. You should see the same from our perspective as far as how we play, how hard we play, and the things that we do as far as execution and being a disciplined ball team. We did not. The guys that we depend on, they just didn't show up and ready to play. I thought that the second group and the younger guys that I gave the opportunity to play once we made a five-out sub, they played with a lot more energy and force, which is the reason why you saw the turnaround that you did. Mm-hmm. Then when I put the other guys back in, they played a little bit harder. But I was extremely disappointed in how we presented ourselves and how we showed up in that game after a tough loss on a Tuesday night. So it's a whole bunch of excuses that I could pull and say, oh, it's Thanksgiving week, oh, it was our first week. But it's just extremely disheartening, especially having our first two games at home, to lose both of those. But the great thing about the sport is quick. Now, I know we have a little bit of a break now.
Yeah, I was going to get into that.
But we have a lot of games left, right? So we're 0-2. I think last year we lost the first one way worse than we lost this year. And we ended up winning like 13 in a row, so 11, 12 in a row, something like that. So we're still plugging away. We're trying to fix our holes. We're trying to get these guys ready and prepared for the next game, which is the 19th at Warren, and then the 20th at Brownsburg. And then we play at the Bob Wedick Tournament in Richmond, which is four games in 2 days. So we won't have enough time after we get out for this little break that we're on to hang our heads. We just got to get ready to play.
And this is kind of a weird break here. You know, you play your first two games, you immediately go into, I believe it's going to be about 3 weeks or so since your last game played, 3.5 weeks around there. Like you said, you face Warren December 19th. Mm-hmm. What are you kind of doing in this next 3 weeks in practices and whatnot to make sure that your team doesn't get too lazy, they're not relaxing too much, even though there's no games in the next 3 weeks or so, that they're still going at their full speed and that they still need to be up to game speed and whatnot? What are you kind of doing there?
I think especially early on, you can get a little soft with games, right? So like some of the things that we needed to do as far as competition, as far as toughness, as we start preparing for games, then we back away from those things. So this, it's kind of a blessing in disguise. It gave us a small reset after a tough start. Mm-hmm. So for me, naturally, I wasn't happy when I saw the schedule. We lost our Sneaker for Santa, which is no fault of anyone. They just went in a different direction with the teams that they wanted to play in it. We usually play Pike and Southport early. Those games got rescheduled, and Southport dropped us once our sectional changed, and we usually play Franklin Central. And since they're not in our sectional anymore, they dropped us as well. So those are three games that we usually play in this time span that we don't have anymore. Really, yeah. Four, if you add in Pike, which got rescheduled to February. But usually we always play them early in the season, early in December. So, you know, it gives us some time to get some much-needed practice time to correct some of the issues that we saw early.
Yeah, it's almost, if you think about it football-wise, it's almost like a really long bye week in that case. Mm-hmm. But I do want to talk about that scheduling. If I am correct, didn't you guys try to reach out to schools and whatnot and see if you could add any more teams onto your schedule?
Yeah, we down three, really. We've been, you know, looked at going out of state to play some games, but you know how it kind of fell. It was late by the time we tried to add them, and you know, in high school, you have contracts, and you can only play so many games. So, you know, it got so late that a lot of people just didn't have games, or they just didn't want to play us. So, that's a tribute to the success that this program's had in the past, and hopefully, we can get back to that standard.
Yeah, let's retrack our focus back to the Fishers game real quick, because I do want to talk about Jayshon Ladd, the Akron commit. He had a great game, 28 mm-hmm. points. What did you see from his game that you think kind of really changed? Because he looked great on Tuesday, made a little just obviously, like you said, the whole team kind of lacked a little bit of energy mm-hmm. on Saturday. So what? Obviously, Jayshon did great. So what did you think of his performance on Tuesday?
He made shots. You know, I'd be careful how I phrase it. I love for my teams to be defensive-minded because defense travels. You can get in the gym and you can make 1,000 shots a day, but on any given day, you can miss every shot that you shoot. But defense and energy and effort, you can come with every day. It takes no talent for that. So a lot of our guys get energy from making shots and scoring baskets, which is the reason why you see ebbs and flows, or you see like one game is really, really good and another game not so good, which is the case what happened with Jayshon on Tuesday versus Saturday. And I just believe that if he had made a couple shots early, mm-hmm. then he would have had the same type of game. It really has to be a mind shift, a momentum, a mental shift for him to shift it, to get energy on other things outside of making shots. So he made 5 threes against Fishers, and he only shot 3 times against Zionsville. And to be our best player and our best scorer, he can't go out and have 3 attempts. Now, I know he may have had 5 or 6, and he got fouled on some of those. But for the most part, like, it's not the kid's fault. So it's my job, it's our job as a coaching staff to put him in position to be successful, which in turn will help us to be successful. So we'll get it corrected. I'll take blame for it. It's a coaching deal, and we'll get it corrected.
Yeah, and let's I do want to stay on the same gear of Jayshon and also Sherman Moss. Those two, you guys kind of lost a little bit of leadership there for, say, a lot of seniors gone, a lot of people graduating or transferring. One of those obviously being Mark Zachary, one of the big ones. He was one of the big leaders. And I talked about it before one of the games on Tuesday, was how can Sherman and Jayshon step up as, you know, the two really powerful seniors on this team for leadership-wise. Have you noticed them stepping up and trying to encourage the underclassmen? And, you know, because they've been here now, 4th year in the program for both of them, and obviously getting ready to go off to play college ball. So have you noticed them use their 3 years of experience here for Ben Davis basketball and kind of be the leaders of this team?
I think the last 2 years, that's what's kind of been lacking. Mark Zachary was there last year, but he only played 2 games, which was in the sectional, so he really wasn't.
I guess he technically dressed up for senior floor. Night, but
yeah, you know what I mean. But he didn't play.
Yeah,
he wasn't necessarily the floor general that I was used to having. Those guys are not natural at leadership, so we've been doing a lot of things from a coaching's perspective to try to teach them how to be leaders. And sometimes it just takes time. You know what I mean? Like Myself, I was a super shy, introverted kid. And when I got to college, I became the first sophomore leader in IUPUI's history, captain. And I had to change at that point. And I think it's going to take something like that for them to mold, to move, to become the leaders that they need to be, especially for us to have success this year. So I see it more in them trying to lead by example as opposed to being the voice and being the coach in practice and on the floor. But I would love to see them take a bigger step, especially, you know, like having a kid like Mark Zachary for 4 years. KJ Windham was an excellent leader. Having kids like that, their predecessors that came before them, mm-hmm. and was able to push a group forward, that's what I would love to see from those two.
Yeah, awesome. And it's a lot of that also, like, looking at those two and mm-hmm. enhancing the skills that they once had to be a great leader and whatnot. But let's also talk about, obviously, not your ideal start, 0-2. Mm-hmm. Obviously, could be better, but... like you said, we've stated so far in this episode, you do have this long 3-week break. How are you? What's your message to your team right now? Not to get too depleted with this 0-2 start.
Well, in anything, man, with successes and/or failures, man, you can't get too high or too low. So, my message is always is just the work. You can't cheat the work. If there's things that we're not doing well, we got to continue to try to work to figure out ways to do them better. And as we move forward through the season, especially this 3-week break, is we just getting back to the basics. Like I said, it's some type of drills that you afraid that you're going to get injuries or you don't really want to go as hard as you probably should go because you know you got games coming up. But with 3 weeks without a game, then all that goes out the window and we can just get to work on the things that we see fit as a coaching staff that we need to do.
Yeah, and I do want to talk about one more thing in the Fishers game. You guys had a lot of positive things, great defense in that game for the most part, gave up a few offensive rebounds here and there, but a big thing for you guys I felt was the turnovers. You guys had quite a few turnovers. Mm-hmm. How can you adjust, the next time you play Warren? Unfortunately, I don't know really about the Saturday game because there's no stats on that. But at least from the Fishers game, I know there's quite a few turnovers. How can you negate that come 3 weeks' time, December 19th, and how can you kind of fix that around?
No. In practice, there's a thing we do where when they do, and I hate to be punitive, but sometimes that's the only way we get the point gets across to us. Mm-hmm. But there's a consequence for turnovers. There's a consequence for not being help side, not rotating, not – if you lose in a game or whatever segment that we're in, there's a consequence. So hopefully we can get those things corrected. Those are also just concentration. Those are also just doing the right things as opposed to doing the thing that you think that you want to do, doing the things that we need you to do as a team and as a Ben Davis basketball program. So hopefully, you know, the thing about it is mistakes are a part of the game. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to have turnovers. Nobody's going to play perfect, not every game. So, you know, we just got to learn. My thing is you're going to make the mistakes. So what are you going to do after you make it, right? Like, are you going to drop your head and not make it to the next play, or are you going to have a memory like a goldfish and get to the next play and then correct the mistake that you made? Because you can – as fast as you make a turnover, you can go get a steal. So mm-hmm. I'm interested in that, not necessarily the amount of turnovers, but how many times you can turn them over.
Yeah, and we saw that one time. I believe it was I can't remember if it was Sherm or Jayshon, but it might have been Jayshon. Lost the ball on this play on against Fishers. He got it stripped from him. Then he comes right back down and with the chase down block. I don't know if that was him or not, but might have been Jayshon or Sherm. But something happened along those lines where ball was poke free and there was some sort of on the other end a block or a steal by the same mm-hmm. player that lost possession. So like you said, just mistakes do happen. And but with that being said, that'll pretty much wrap it up for the first episode of the 2025-2026 season of Conversations with Carlisle. Of course, I've been your host, Bryson Hill, joined by the man himself, Coach Carlisle. Thank you for joining me today.
Appreciate you.